Do you spend enough time in the cloud? Do I spend enough time in the cloud? I don't mean in an airplane that's flying through the clouds or above the clouds for a great distance. And I don't mean driving up a mountain road that leads you through low-lying clouds as you reach the peak of the mountain, although that can feel so surreal. I don't even mean driving through Paulding County on a spring or fall morning, when the temperature and other conditions are just right so that the clouds are very low-lying and you can see the windmills towering above them and cutting through them as the blades rotate. That's also a pretty surreal experience. But I mean the cloud. Do you spend enough time in the cloud? It's the cloud you find on top of the mountain. Did you notice in the gospel story of the Transfiguration today that it says Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain? There is no talk of a mountain in the story just before this, yet all of a sudden there's talk about Jesus taking up the mountain. It's the mountain because on top of that mountain there is an experience of the glory of Jesus Christ. There is an encounter with the one true God. Mountains in Scripture are where you encounter God. Any mountain where you encounter God can be called the mountain. The encounter defines it. And sure enough, on top of any mountain where you encounter God, there is the cloud. The cloud in Scripture is the presence of God. Jesus is taken up in a cloud at his ascension. There's a cloud on Mount Sinai with lightning and thunder in it. There's a cloud of God's presence that fills the Old Testament temple when it first gets dedicated. Now here today in the story of the Transfiguration, there's a cloud that comes over the whole scene where Moses and Elijah appear talking with Jesus about his exodus. Peter is correct. How good it is for them to be there. What a gift it is for Jesus to take those three apostles with him to experience something so beautiful. Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. It's an insight into the way the Old Testament law, represented by Moses, and prophets, represented by Elijah, truly point to Jesus. And these privileged apostles get to hear Jesus. Moses and Elijah talking about Jesus' exodus. Exodus is just the word for going out, leaving. Jesus is going to pass out of this world through death and into his Father's heavenly kingdom, conquering death and sin for all of us. What a grace for these apostles to witness all of this. How good it is for these apostles to be there and see what they see and hear what they hear. It's a great gift from Jesus to them. It's a great gift from the Lord to us when we get to encounter him on top of the mountain in the cloud. Back to our question. Do you spend enough time in the cloud? Do I? Do we let Jesus bring us up onto a mountain in prayer where he can show us more deeply his identity, especially as we meditate on scripture passages that point to him? With our Holy Spirit-baptized soul approaching scripture, scripture which was written by the Holy Spirit, we can expect some pretty amazing fireworks to happen inside of our heart. Do we give Jesus the time to take us up a mountain in prayer and let us experience the cloud of the divine presence? Jesus can console and inspire us there if we let him. We start by giving the Lord a time and place for prayer. Then we open the Bible or a prayer book and slowly give our minds to the words we read. Then we can count on the cloud of the Holy Spirit to affect us. We can expect inspiration from him. We can expect God to make the prayer go beyond what we ourselves create. The Lord himself creates something beautiful in us during a prayer time. I myself went up the mountain with the Lord into the cloud of the divine presence to prepare for this homily. And while I watched Jesus in the transfiguration and his discussion with Moses and Elijah, for the first time in many decades of meditating on this passage, I realized that this conversation with Moses and Elijah was even helpful for Jesus. Of course it was. The conversation started before the apostles woke up, so it must have been something useful for Jesus as well to speak with them about his exodus. He must have been confirmed and consoled in his humanity, knowing that he was about to go through Calvary, yet having the fellowship of these two Old Testament saints to prepare him on the way. That's where the mention of sleep makes sense in our first reading and our gospel today. God making the prayer go beyond what we ourselves create. It has to do with the passive side of prayer, the part God works upon us. Why, Holy Spirit, do you tell us that a deep sleep came upon Abram just before God was going to seal the covenant with him? And why, Holy Spirit, do you tell us that a deep sleep came upon Peter, James, and John when they were on the mountain, so that in fact the vision of Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus began while they were still asleep? They woke up to find the vision happening. In order to enter more deeply into covenant with God, Abram first experiences a sleep. In order to enter into the bright vision of God, Jesus glorified, as he speaks with Moses and Elijah, a sleep has to come over the three apostles. Why? The sleep in both the first reading and the gospel is the way the Holy Spirit shows us that there is a passive part of entering into deep prayer and more deeply into our baptismal covenant with God. We do our human part. So in the first reading, Abram cuts the animals apart as God commands him. And Abraham drives away the birds of prey who try to ruin the moment. Or in the gospel, the apostles climb the mountain with Jesus. Those actions all represent all of the necessary human effort. But there is more than human effort involved in experiencing the divine cloud on the mountaintop. God takes it further, anointing the moment, moving by the power of his Holy Spirit in our hearts, and makes us experience more. He enlightens our hearts and warms them. I suggest strongly that some of our prayer time should include closing our eyes. That in itself means we're giving God an exclusive place in time. Don't close your eyes while saying the prayers on the road. We are not just catching God on the fly in this case. We're able to close our eyes. Closing our eyes in prayer parallels the closing of the eyes of Abram's sleep and the closing of the eyes in the sleep of the apostles in our readings. Closing our eyes, we stop looking at things of this world around us, and with the Holy Spirit's help, we look with spiritual eyes at divine things. We see some of Jesus' radiance. We understand something more about overcoming death and darkness through Jesus' exodus on Calvary. Let's close our eyes sometimes in prayer as a way of giving ourselves more fully to the divine cloud on the mountaintop. Holy Mass is always a mountaintop experience, with the divine cloud overshadowing as we watch Jesus Christ appear before us on the altar. May we allow him to enlighten our minds and warm our hearts, especially here.